Have you guys had that really weird dream where, like, you're pulling off your fingers and they're growing back like they're your fingernails?
No. Are you tripping on PCP? Hello and welcome to the 12th episode of Between the Pixels. I'm Jared.
I'm Devin.
And I'm Ryan.
Unfortunately, I don't have any cool intro for this week. However, I did think of one cool intro that I should have used last week. Since Thanksgiving was this past week, I should have said, Happy Thanksgaming. Get it?
Nice.
But you should have said that last week, you said?
Yeah, like for the intro, I should have been like, Happy Thanksgiving.
You could say it this time.
Well, I just did.
Oh, but yeah.
Do you get it?
It wasn't, yeah. Yeah, I get it, Jared.
All right.
Because this is a podcast about games.
Anyway, we are the podcast for Pixel Perfect, the best video game website on cable television.
Play the laugh track. Go.
PixelPerfectMag.com is the URL. We had a lot of cool content go up this week.
I'm waiting for my Saints Row the Third review to come out.
That's true. Devin just submitted a Saints Row the Third review where he reviews Saints Row the Third. Don't read it. He also submitted his What Do You Mean You Haven't Played article on Twisted Metal 3.
Send all your hate mail this way. Twisted Metal 3, great Nick game.
It's not. But we had some other cool content go up this week. Our holiday gift guide went out. It's in three different parts, and we tell you what to buy with your money this holiday. So if you decide that you're going to pick up something we listed in our guide, well, first off, I recommend using Amazon because they're great. And secondly, if you want to support the show and support the site, then use our referral links that are in the respective game descriptions and each guide. Click on that, and then when you buy it, it gives us a little kickback. We get a little bit of money to help us out for running the cost of the show and the website and whatnot, and that helps us keep putting out amazing content.
Yeah, we also have the Dan Collin put out two different parts of video game soundtracks that you should own for this holiday.
Yeah, top video game soundtracks to own. Which I really enjoyed reading. Did you read that?
I read most of like the second one and like half the first one.
Well, I'm a big fan of sound in games. I love listening to soundtracks. I do it pretty often. And listening to some of those old tracks that, like, as he went through, he had different links to like the best soundtrack, you know, the best song in the soundtrack and things like that. So I was clicking on those and listening to those. And it made me go back and listen to a lot of music that I either of games that I haven't played or games I haven't played in a long time. And it made me really want to go back and play some of those.
Did you actually go back and listen to any music?
Yeah, like I own Final Fantasy 13 and I couldn't get into the game at all. It was alright, but I didn't really enjoy the story or the combat that much. But I started listening to the soundtrack and it has a really good soundtrack. And that's one of the ones in his list. And then I'm ashamed to say, but I've never played Okami.
Yeah, what the heck is that about?
Ooh, what is your problem, Jared?
Okay, Devin, have you even played Okami?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, whenever I read it, I was like, I should really play this game. Like, where am I?
Brian, did you play Okami?
Yeah.
Did you like it, Brian?
I did, actually, a lot.
It has a really good soundtrack.
It did. I don't remember any of the songs in particular, but I remember really enjoying the soundtrack, which is weird.
Yeah, I went back through and... Or not. I didn't listen to the whole soundtrack, but I listened to a few pieces, and it's pretty good. I need to get it.
Yeah, I also saw Manakima, and that's actually one of the games I wanted to try out for the PSP. I was going to buy that, but I decided not to. He has that listed as a great soundtrack.
I've never even heard of that game.
Yeah, huh? We talked about it, and you said, like, don't get it because it's something you probably won't like. Like, that style of gaming, I forget exactly what it's about.
Maybe it's like a turn-based or something like that. Who knows? I'm not going to look it up. I was really glad to see Mega Man 2 on there because I love the soundtrack. Mega Man 2 is like my favorite Mega Man, plus I love the soundtrack from it. Did you guys play Mega Man 2?
No, I actually haven't played like any Mega Mans. I'm not a Mega Man dude.
I'm not a big Mega Man fan either, but Mega Man 2 is pretty awesome.
That's cool. Yeah, check that out.
Well, also, we had a new What Do You Mean You Haven't Played article go up this week on Lunar 2 Eternal Blue. Written by Travis Redding, a new writer on staff. Also, new low score every Saturday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Fifth Strip just came out. Check it out.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Any more house cleaning crap you gotta talk about?
No, that's pretty much it. Make sure you check pixelperfectmag.com every day. Follow them on Twitter, at ThePixelPerfect.
Believe it.
Well, guys, Friday was Black Friday. Anybody go out? Except for me?
Nope, I did not. I did go out, but I didn't go to the store.
Well, there were some like amazing deals at Best Buy and Walmart. At first, I thought they had a 3-month
Amazon.com.
Yeah, Amazon has some great deals. Actually, I didn't really see like anything that I particularly wanted from Amazon, even for the Cyber Monday thing.
What about all the games that are on our holiday gift guide that you guys should go buy?
Well, most of those games I already have. But yeah, they had, the Walmart was dropping prices, like, the new games were pretty much being cut in half. They were, like, $28 for Gears of War 3, Battlefield 3. They had, like, Forza Motorsport there. And the new FIFA game, which people were going crazy over.
Oh, thank God.
There was a huge pile of people around, like, this, it was such a small stand of these games, right? And I think there was only, like, I'd say 5 to 10 copies of each game there. There wasn't that many.
Well, like fighting over it?
Yeah, I mean, well, they were standing there because you couldn't grab them until a specific time. You know what I mean? Like they cut the tape open, and there wasn't that many there. You could see the stacks of them because they were kind of layered. And I was just like, there's way more people there than they are going to get games, and something's going to go down. But I didn't stick around there. But I went back to my sister. She was waiting in line to get a computer that they were going to sell to her at midnight. And at 10 o'clock, these games went on sale, which, I mean, they keep moving it back early and early every day. That's not even Black Friday anymore. I mean, selling it on Thursday at 10
o'clock. There's a lot of places that have, like, Thursday.
It's going to be, like, Orange Wednesday next year.
The crap is Orange Wednesday?
It's just because it's a different color, I guess.
Oh.
So, okay. Yeah, I mean, last year, I know Walmart did one. I think the earliest was at 12, I guess, to be, like, still say it's Black Friday, but I mean, now it's 10 o'clock. So the games went off at 10 o'clock, and as soon as 10 o'clock hit, I mean, you just heard like the whole entire building of Walmart like rumble, like it was like a thunderstorm. Like everybody was cutting open the bags and stuff, and they were all grabbing the stuff. I went back over to the games like 10 minutes later, and these supervisors were talking about how there was a fight that happened like right near the video game area, and that people were just like, they were like, taking games and like pulling them out of each other's hands as they got them off the shelf.
Oh, you missed it. You should have hung out there and like videotaped it.
I know. I should have. I don't. You know, even knowing that there were so many people there that and some of them were not going to get the game they wanted, I should have known that something was going to happen. But I didn't, which sucks because all these supervisors were talking about and stuff. But there weren't any like security guards or cops or anything.
Did you get anything on Black Friday?
I got nothing. I just went out and just hung out.
I don't like Black Friday. I like the idea behind it.
I hate it too, but it's so cool to be there. I get to see like the scum of the earth come out.
Well, that's like any trip to Walmart.
Their blenders and their TVs and stuff, and people are like, oh my gosh, like people go crazy. I know it's every trip to Walmart, but they really come out on Black Friday.
I like the idea of Black Friday. I think it's cool. And I think it's even cooler that, like, there used to be Cyber Monday. I mean, there's still a Cyber Monday, but there's a lot of cyber deals that go on starting Thursdays now or Fridays when Black Friday starts. So that's cool. So I don't have to wait to like, that Monday to try to get stuff. I get a whole, you know, weekend to get stuff. But I hate all the other people that go out there. I don't want to be around them. Like, they're horrible people. Everyone's, like, all common DCC goes out the window so I can get this stupid TV. I need this new TV.
Oh, yeah.
I hate you.
There are just nasty people, like, wearing, like, these pink and black pajamas. You know, these really fat chicks that wear them, like, over top of their belly buttons with these nasty t-shirts.
So they're
and
hot.
Stuff. They look like they have, like, baby... Yeah, they look like they have, like, baby pew, like, on their chest and stuff. Like, people just do not take care of themselves. I mean, she definitely didn't shower within, like, 2 to 3 weeks.
That's pretty hot. Do you have you ever camped out, Brian or Devin, like for Black Friday deals or anything like that?
Actually, I did once. It was Walmart, and the same Walmart had a they'd old trampling the year before, I believe it was.
I thought that was
or
last year.
Like really...
Didn't that happen last year?
I don't know.
It might
a while back. I don't know. It happens every Black Friday. Like 3 or 4 people die.
That's terrible, isn't it?
Me and Devin were talking about that last night. Like, how does that even happen? How does someone get trampled to death? How do you not pick someone up? How do you not help someone?
Like, because you want that damn TV. I mean,
yeah,
that's,
I know.
But no, what happened was though was what they did was they basically
you got to realize you're stepping
at about
right?
10 o'clock. They let everyone. It wasn't a 24-hour Walmart, but at like they were going to open at midnight. So about 10 o'clock, they opened the doors to everyone, and you basically had a choice on what line you wanted to wait in, and then they gave you a ticket, and that ticket kind of guaranteed you what you were in line for, under the stipulation that, I mean, you could go to the bathroom and things go back and forth, but you had to be in that line most of the time, and you had to give the attendant your ticket, and they would kind of time you. They'd give you like 20 minutes or something to go to the bathroom, which is more than enough time
for some people.
Well, yeah, but if you're, you know, if you take 20 minutes in the bathroom, you probably are Jared and you have a problem.
I don't take 20 minutes to go. I just pee a lot.
But, I mean, that was so calm, so organized. Everyone, like, got what they got. I got a $200 laptop that actually served me incredibly well until I killed it.
I mean, the idea of Black Friday sounds awesome, and the people... It sounds cool, like, let's just open it up and let people go crazy and try to get stuff, but, like, everyone is so selfish and such horrible people.
Absolutely.
That, like Devin said, how do you not know that you are stepping on someone to death? Like, I've never trampled
someone to death. But even if you do step,
death,
like, on somebody's leg or something, like, you feel something that you're stepping on, like, skin or bone or something, you look down and you're like, yeah. Oh, crap, sorry, and try to move, right?
Oh, crap, there's blood everywhere. I wonder where that came from.
Crap, there's just a corpse on the ground that's being shuffled around.
Maybe it's just this guy we're stomping to death. I don't know.
As long as I get that TV, that video game.
Actually, for what you're saying, Brian, about the whole ticket thing, that's what my sister had to do when she was getting her a laptop there. And they were waiting in line, and they gave them all tickets. But they were like being really anal about it. Like, you couldn't do anything. You could not leave to go to the bathroom. You couldn't have like somebody wait in line for you. You weren't allowed to sit down on the ground or anywhere, and you couldn't eat or drink in line.
Oh, they were unanal where I was. They were like more or less of, as long as you're here and not, they let us sit, you know, and everything. The McDonald's opened early. There was McDonald's and the Walmart. Like most Walmarts have something to eat, so they let us go. I mean, they let you go eat.
Yeah, I'm not saying you couldn't do it.
The environment was really chill too.
I don't care. I'd rather have it that way.
Yeah. Because it was organized, too. Like, everyone, when you're sitting there, you're in no rush. You have a ticket. So it doesn't matter. As long as you're following the line in an orderly fashion, you know you're going to get it. Whereas the other Black Fridays, you just rush in and kick every grandma you see out of the way.
What way would you rather have it, Jared?
I'd rather just have it more organized. I know to people, like, the chaos and all that stuff is part of the fun, but I just... I mean, people I get there's like 5 billion people in the United States, and I understand that. How many people? Is there 5 billion? Or am I just throwing out a word, a letter, or a?
I'm pretty sure there was like 6 billion in the world.
No, there's like 7 billion now. I know that,
and not 5 billion of that is in America.
Let's say all 7 billion are in America, but. Whoever, there's how many people in America? It's like, yeah, a few people die from that. More people die from, like, alcohol and stuff like that every year. So Black Friday is not, like, this big deal. But it's just, like,
Although it is only a one-day event where everyone drinks, like, weekends upon weekends and stuff.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying it's a senseless... I mean, drinking's a dumb way to die, too. But, like, it's just a senseless thing to have people die and get hurt. Just get hurt. It doesn't give you carte blanche to be a complete dickhole to everyone just because, like, I need to get this new TV that you probably don't need anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate Black Friday, and I hate most of the people that go out on Black Friday. I know I'm being very negative and mean, but, like, I can't stand the whole thing about, like, people are so greedy and have to just get this new whatever piece of hardware or new game or whatever it may be. And plus, I'm lazy. No, thank you. I'll order it online.
Yeah.
I'm not standing outside for hours.
It definitely should be more organized. And that way, like, even if you are greedy like that, then you'll know to come early and get in line.
Yeah. Like, I remember the night that Derek and...
If you really want something, go early.
Yeah. Like, I remember the night that Derek and a couple of our other friends, Derek stood outside, I forget how many hours it was, to get this new TV. And like we would come by, and most people there were pretty nice, but we would come by and like bring him food and stuff and just see like, and they waited out all night. He got in and out. There weren't really any issues. And like, that was fine. Like people waited all day for that. I mean, I personally wouldn't wait that long for that. I'd rather just, I'll pay a few extra bucks to not have to wait in line for that. There were a lot of good gaming deals going on, except I didn't get like anything. Like right now, Steam has their autumn sale going on from November 23rd to the 27th. And I keep like adding all these games to my cart, but I'm not buying any of them. I haven't checked out any of them. I just have this cart full of games. That way I can then go down through and, yeah, well, then I can go down through and decide which ones I'm actually going to get that I'm never going to play.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Black Friday, did you want to bring up an article that we had about this?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Okay. Well, on Black Friday, where did this happen at?
It was a Walmart, wasn't it?
It was at Walmart, but I was trying to think of like what state.
Oh, Walmart State.
It was somewhere in America. Kentucky. That maybe Oklahoma or something. Who knows? That's wasn't Oklahoma.
Let's say Oklahoma.
Yeah. Anyway, well, apparently a grandfather got caught shoplifting a video game for his grandson.
Supposedly shoplifting.
Supposedly, I guess he had the game in his like his waistband, so he could grab more games as soon as like they cut the things loose.
I thought the wife said that he did it so he could grab the son or something like that to keep him from getting
maybe
trampled
that too.
By other people or something.
But I think he wanted to get another like a couple games too.
Okay.
And either way, he put the game in his waistband, and I guess the cops thought that he was trying to like shoplift. So like they grabbed his arm.
So they did the necessary procedure, of course.
Yeah, they grabbed his arm, and apparently he was resisting arrest by flailing his arm up because some random person grabbed his arm. They probably didn't see that it was a cop. He threw his arm up, and then they pretty much threw him on the concrete ground and smashed his face in. And he immediately became unconscious, and blood started pouring out on the floor.
And of course, you know, in a good like a good police officer should do, instead of like saying like, "Oh, hey, we just broke your face and you're bleeding everywhere," instead of saying like, "Oh crap, that sucks. Maybe we should help him out." Like, "Oh no, we'll just continue to cuff him."
Yep, they just cuffed him, and I guess the video I saw, he was like not moving at all. He had blood all over his face. And I guess in the report it said something like, you know, somebody that was there was able to use like a first aid kit on him because the cops didn't know how to use it.
Yeah, the cops were like, how do you do first aid?
Yeah.
Typical regular cops stuff then.
I mean, he was having like blood like getting caught into his throat and his lungs that needed to get out so he could breathe. And they didn't know. I mean, he was unconscious.
Yeah, they didn't care. It was totally justified to slam this guy's face in the ground. For supposedly, I mean, we don't know all the details why he stuck it in his waistband, but regardless,
yeah, that's true.
You don't need to slam his face into the ground.
Okay, there's one thing I know for sure. This was not in Pennsylvania. I don't know if you guys know this, but in Pennsylvania, the officers can do absolutely nothing to you until you leave the store with the item unpaid. You can actually sue them for a lot of money for accusing you of stealing if you do that.
When I worked at Kmart, you could never ever say to anyone, like if someone was literally about to walk out the door with something, you couldn't say to them like, "Hey, stop it. Are you shoplifting that?" You would just have to get up in front of them and be like, "Can I help you with something? Do you need help with that?" or something like that. But you could never accuse them of stealing. You could never touch them. You could never, I mean, obviously we couldn't, but it was something where it's like very, like you had to
when you walk out and the beepers go off, then can you accuse them?
Like if they knew for sure, like we had undercovers when we worked at Wise and a Kmart. So like if they saw people clearly like stealing stuff, like stuffing it in their pants and then walking out, I think they had more of they were able to actually approach them and say something.
I used to work third shift at a grocery store. And undercovers would come in all the time, and it was kind of cool because there was no one in the store, so they could sit there and chat and not be incognito. And the guy was telling me, I'm in the process of getting sued right now because I followed someone all the way out the door. I saw them pick it up, put it in their purse, and then I saw them ditch it. So they were trying to get me in trouble, but I knew they didn't. I never accused them. So unless he can't do anything, a single thing, until they walk out the door, in which case then he can chase them down and tackle them and He has the ability to detain them as a store officer.
Oh. Well, I mean, I've heard about security. Them like doing it in store too, so I don't know if there's like certain situations where they can or not. But...
it's Pennsylvania. I mean, like I've heard stories of people that used to work in Gap. They had someone come in with a freaking trash bag, get all the jeans on one of the things, put everything in the trash bag, and run out the store. And everyone knew what was going on, but they couldn't
they
do anything
there,
because the
right
rent-a-
next to them, it's like they're stuffing jeans in the bag. It's like, can I help you, sir? No, I'm good. I'm all right. I got this.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, do you want to hold this bag while I put these in here?
Actually, I could have sued someone because I was shopping with a bag of my own. I had like a shopping bag. I don't know how we're going off the tangent, but I was shopping with a messenger bag, and like three security guys swarmed me.
Why would you shop with a messenger bag? I was shopping with a suitcase.
No, because I didn't feel like carrying a basket, and I needed just a couple things, and I was coming off from work, and I kept my street clothes in my bag, and so I was just putting stuff in there.
I'm going to say that's a poor decision on your part.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also knew the wall, they couldn't do a damn thing. I should have sued them. I should have.
Well,
I wouldn't
that doesn't mean a cop won't cross
the line.
Yeah.
Right now.
It certainly doesn't mean that they're not going to just go ahead with it anyway, you know, cross that line and do it, beat you up,
yeah.
Slam your face in the ground, break everything.
Because Brian, you kind of look like a rapist, and if you were like walking around and
no, Devin, I have a soul patch as well as a mustache.
No,
so
Devin,
I
am a rapist. Excuse me.
Anyway, so that's pretty ridiculous. And, you know, when they interviewed the cops, of course, we don't know exactly what happened, and we didn't really see it, but they were just doing what procedure called for, and, like, they just kind of, you know, beat around the bush about it. So there's that.
Yeah,
it doesn't really help.
Regardless, it's a $60 game, which the game, it's Black Friday, so the game isn't worth $60. I'm sure it was on sale for much less. Regardless, it was completely unnecessary. What do you call it when it's
excessive
force? It was most certainly excessive force to slam him on the ground. Even if he's resisting, or even if you knew it was a cop and he was resisting arrest, you don't have to. It's a concrete floor, and you can take him down in different ways, or you can just say like, "I'm a police officer." I mean, I'm sure they have to identify themselves. They can't just grab his arm and start cuffing him. So.
I mean, I see that as a perfectly logical response. If someone's grabbing my arm all of a sudden, I am going to flail and hit someone. But as soon as I turn around to figure out who it is and I find out it's a cop, I'm going to stop resisting.
I don't know. At the same time, I'm not a child. Like, if someone touches my arm, I don't immediately get like, get off me! And like,
yeah.
flare
bad
my
touch,
arm.
Bad touch!
But if somebody actually grabs your arm, not just
if
touching
if someone's
it,
grabbing
like...
me and jerking me around, yeah, that's different. But if someone's like to put their hand on me and said like, hey, stop, or something like that, I wouldn't like... start flipping out. I mean, we don't know the whole situation. We don't know all the details. I mean, the guy could be in the wrong, but even if he was, I just think it's unnecessary to like hurt that guy to that extent.
Oh no, you're right, Jared. He put the game in his waistband so he could pick up his grandson, so he wasn't getting trampled on by other people. And apparently, he like cut his lip or something like that. He was getting trampled on by other people, so that's why he did that.
Okay, so that's good. So he's just trying to help out his little kid, his little grandson,
yeah.
And he broke his face. Yeah, that's cool.
Which I'm kind of confused about that, because if he was holding his his grandson, and then when did the whole arresting take place? He would have to put him down,
maybe
right?
Maybe he put him, I don't know, maybe the kid...
like in a cart or something.
Maybe he threw the kid.
That'd be the right thing to do.
Anyway, so another example of good police work. Anyway, what games have you guys been playing this week?
Actually, I have a good story. Another good story.
My face got smashed at Walmart.
My grandfather's face got smashed at Walmart while he was trying to save his grandson.
He was trying to pick me up.
He was trying to pick you up.
No, I actually got Assassin's Creed Brotherhood for free.
Don't you already own that?
No. No, not Brotherhood. Revelations. The new one.
Oh, okay.
Long story short... I went out down to Redner's to get a snack at like midnight, and it just so happened someone I used to know was there. And he asked me if I was still good with computers, and I said yes. As it turns out, this fine young gentleman is a drug dealer. And I only know this because he talked about it with someone on the phone and did a deal right there on the phone. Then he
proceeds...
So
you're an accomplice.
Whatever.
You're going to jail.
Yeah. I'm actually going to take you to jail.
I have to report this, Brian, because it's the law. All right?
Yeah, I don't know if this will be good for the podcast or not, but...
What's he sell?
I don't know. Everything.
Methamphetamines?
I don't know. Jared, I'll put you in contact if you're looking to buy.
Yeah, hook me up.
But he said, hey, do you want a game? Any game you want. And I was like, oh, I was hoping to get Assassin's Creed Revelation someday. You know. And next thing I know, some guy comes in. He brings two games, Modern Warfare 2 and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, in that little plastic box that prevents you from stealing it from Walmart. And
so he stole it.
Popped open the box and gave me the game.
Wait, you just said Brotherhood and Modern Warfare 2.
Revelation, whatever.
Okay, was it really Modern Warfare 2 or 3?
Oh, whatever, the new one.
Okay, so you got both of those wrong.
I did not get that game, though. That he stole the other one for his...
Wait, so, like, did he just like, call up a guy and say, like, hey, we need this, and then he just shows up later?
Yes, like, that's actually exactly how... Like, you picture, like, the movies where, like, there's the drug dealer, so I can get you anything you want, and the guy says, I want this. He calls up a guy, and, like, 10 minutes later, someone comes with it.
And you took it?
Yeah.
Why didn't you take Ranger, both?
You are going to jail. You are most certainly going to jail.
Yeah. As soon as this podcast comes out, I have a wire on right now.
I'm wearing a wire.
There are cops right outside my door.
If I say the word, they will come rushing in this hotel room right now.
I'm going to give you the chance to leave.
What would you do then, Jared, huh?
What would I do if a drug addict or if a drug seller asked me to come back to his house?
Well, I was unaware of his affiliation with drug dealing.
No, you said you were fully aware.
Not when I went there.
Wait, I'm confused. I thought this happened in the store.
No.
You went back to his house.
When I went to his house, I was unaware he was a drug dealer.
Oh, I thought you were in a store. I thought you
did. Did he have a nice house? Or was it really junky with, like, junkies laying there shooting up?
No, it wasn't anything like that.
Because that would be a very telltale sign.
Or just, like, lines of coke everywhere?
No, it wasn't really even, like, noticeable that he was a drug dealer until 15, 20 minutes after.
Well, that's pretty cool that you got a free game. Would you have taken the game, Jared? This is, like, a moral question here, I guess.
I don't like Assassin's Creed, so no.
Well, if he just would have said any game you want.
Yeah, and then you
would have said, I need stadium events on the original NES. Which, if you don't know, that's an incredibly rare game that sold for, like, $40,000.
Let me rephrase that. Any recent game. Any new game.
Well, if he said that, and I wasn't aware that it was stolen, I probably would have...
Well, I wasn't aware it was stolen, because at this point, he hasn't revealed himself as a drug dealer.
How could you tell that it was stolen, though? Because, like, they don't do anything, unless it was stolen from...
Well, I was guessing it was stolen simply for the fact that the guy actually had the boxes still, and he had to pop it open with a screwdriver.
Yeah, he had those plastic boxes, Jared.
I don't know what plastic...
The plastic box...
Oh, you're talking about the plastic boxes that when it sits in Walmart. Oh, okay.
Like, but, like, after this, and now I'm thinking, if I don't take this, is he going to shoot me for, like, being a snitch?
Yeah. It's a little drastic.
Yeah, well...
That's what you should have said. I'm wearing a wire! And just ran out.
Started screaming, I'm wearing a wire, there are cops surrounded outside!
Put your hand in your shirt and act like you have a gun.
You should have just blown your rape whistle that you keep with you.
No, I had actually had my one of my knives with me.
Yeah, you're definitely prepared, right, Moosey? I mean, you have all those contraptions.
They probably had a gun, though. They would shoot you in the face with your knife, and then you would never get to play. So how was Assassin's Creed Revelations?
It was good.
More Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, it felt a bit more like a expansion to Assassin's Creed. Simply for the fact that gameplay mechanics were very similar. I mean, it was definitely a different game, though.
Did you beat it?
Yeah.
Is it short? Because I know a couple people that beat it already.
It's kind of short. It took me, I think, two days to beat it. But I'm also unemployed, so, I mean, that's... I mean, I didn't 100% it, but...
I heard a lot of lukewarm things about it, though. I just... Like, it's a decent game, and it's fun, but I heard it's not as good as Brotherhood.
Well, I'm going to sit here and say that if I would have paid for it, I probably would have a very different review of it.
Well, don't let that affect it. Just say what you think of the game in general.
But, as far as games go, I mean, I really did enjoy playing it. I didn't feel like the missions were all that bad. I just felt, the ending kind of came up quick, almost like they were trying to rush it or something. Like, they had all this kind of backstory stuff going, and then it felt like it got suddenly tied up real quick. And then, oh, now you're at the end. Okay, congratulations, you beat the game.
I know you're a big Assassin's Creed fan. Do you feel kind of like they're getting to the point where it's like, okay, I've kind of had enough of these? or some, or is it like, do you want them to just keep pumping them out, or is it?
There's probably going to be at least one more.
Well, they're definitely making Assassin's Creed 3.
Right. I'm kind of hoping that they'll make one, and I said this last time, but I'm kind of hoping that they'll make one where you're playing solely as Desmond.
Who do you play in 1 and 2?
Ezio.
Okay, and then Brotherhood?
You play as Ezio in the second one.
Oh yeah, 1 you're playing as Altair, Ezio you're playing in the second one, Brotherhood you're playing Ezio, and the other one, Revelation, you're playing as Ezio. Oh, you're all inside the Animus, though. I want one where you're playing as Desmond outside of the Animus, like, doing your... taking advantage of all this training you've gained from the...
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people, actually, that want that same thing.
I mean, even if they do, I mean, like, with Assassin's Creed, you have, like, the crossbow and the gun and throwing knives, so they kind of have moved into a point where you have the range combat. So even if they do end up putting guns and things into it, as long as they somehow incorporate the importance of the Hidden Blade, I'll be more or less fine with it. As long as they don't make it a third-person shooter with a assassin.
You have to play a point where, like, you have to chop off your own finger as Desmond?
No. They Ezio modified the blade so you don't have to chop off your finger.
Oh, that's not even cool anymore.
Yeah, but then you have to burn a ring. You have to burn something to your finger.
Well, you can chop off your own finger.
Wait, you can chop off your own finger?
Wait. I thought you were making a reference to another video game. Are you not?
No.
I don't. Have you guys had that really weird dream where, like, you're pulling off your fingers and they're growing back like they're your fingernails?
No. Are you tripping on PCP?
That's definitely not common, Brian.
Where you're pulling off your fingers and they're growing back as fingernails.
No, they're not growing back with them. Like, I'm thinking, oh, it'll just grow back, and it does, like, pretty quickly.
Brian, you're disgusting.
So I'm walking around with, like, no fingers in my dreams.
That's weird. I do have dreams a lot of times about, like, my teeth, like, constantly, almost every night.
Falling out.
I have dreams about, like, my teeth falling out or, like, pulling out. And just, like, really...
That's a sign of stress.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to say that, too. Damn it, Devin.
Yeah. That's, like, the first thing I learned in, like, my psychology class. They said, like, how many people have that dream, and did you have it around, like, when you first came to college? Because a lot of people get, like, stressed out about being at college and... like their freshman year.
Yeah, I did at first then, but like I still get it off and on now, and it gets
I've never
horrible.
Had that dream.
I hate it. It's really like your teeth. Like it feels like my teeth are getting really loose, and then like they're like ripping. Sometimes like I have dreams where like somehow my teeth, my bottom teeth, my upper teeth, somehow got latched together. Like somehow I overbit, and like they got connected somehow. And if I try to open my mouth, it starts tearing out of my gums. It's like some messed up stuff.
Is this the cause of your grinding your teeth?
No, but sometimes I wake up and I'm grinding my teeth really hard.
That hurts my mouth.
It's a horrible feeling. Like I wake up and I still do it and I don't realize I'm doing it for like a minute or so. Anyway, back to Assassin's Creed. There was wasn't there supposed to be like a thing where like you're going back and forth between like old Ezio and young someone, Altair or Desmond or something like that?
There are parts in that. But it's not annoying.
Well, no, I didn't think it was annoying. I thought from the trailers, it kind of seemed cool if you were going to play as, you know, from like two different perspectives like that. But I heard that
like,
it was like really
kind
short.
Of, long story short, you're basically as Ezio reliving memories of Altair somehow. Like, I don't want to have spoilers, but Ezio finds a way to relive Altair's memories. And you're basically reliving a lot of important points in Altair's life. So if you're kind of interested in what happened to Altair after he killed Al-Muin in Assassin's Creed 1, then you can kind of find out what happened to him, what happened with the apple and all that stuff.
Wait. So Ezio... Okay, so Desmond is in an Animus as Ezio, and Ezio is recalling Altair, who was... This is like some Inception stuff going on. What the heck?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was like, hold on. It basically is like Ezio finds a form of an Animus. Like, the basis of the game, spoiler alert here, but basically what the game is trying to show is that they have these people called Those Who Came Before, and they're basically ancient aliens, and so their technology is a lot higher than even current level. So Ezio finds one of these technologies, and it allows him to relive Altair's memories, because Altair Ezio and Desmond are all directly related.
So it's basically a cop-out. The minute you throw something supernatural and they're like, oh, there's aliens! It's...
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that, because it's not a cop-out. It's the basis of the storyline. It's centered around that. It's not like they're trying to explain something away that they couldn't.
Our EIC, Justin Brennis, actually reviewed Revelations. He gave it a 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah. Not too bad, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned it last week, but it's been getting a lot of lukewarm reviews. You know, just kind of like, it's all right.
Whereas Brotherhood was, like, really high.
Yeah, and 2 and Brotherhood, people really gave a lot of praise to.
There wasn't a lot of side missions, now that I think about it. Like, actually, there was none, pretty much.
Do you play the multiplayer at all?
No. I was kind of afraid to put up my multiplayer code because it was, borrowed from Walmart.
You're gonna take it back now?
Here, I need to return this. I already finished it. It's all right. I gave it a 6.5 out of 10. Did you play any other games? I mean, we could talk about Skyrim real quick.
I did play Skyrim.
Because we've all
played Skyrim. I did the
Companions quest.
Not to be confused with the Champions.
Which you've said multiple times.
Which is not anything in Skyrim.
But, I mean, that was fun.
Yeah, I had fun. It was a lot better than the... Well, okay. It didn't... It had, like... Not to go into any spoilers, but the build-up to the end of it was pretty short-lived, but I think even though it was short, it was still more enjoyable than the Fighters Guild in Oblivion. Because in Oblivion, I remember the Fighters Guild being all about, like, hey, there's some rats in this lady's basement. Why don't you go kill them? Or something like that.
Well, like, I know me, you and I, Jared, had this conversation earlier, but I think it'd be shared. With the Fighters Guild in Oblivion, you had, like, this part where you felt like you were just doing kind of menial tasks. And, I mean, they kind of did add up to something else. You just didn't realize it until later on.
Right.
So they weren't actually menial, but they felt like they were at the time.
Well, it felt like you were kind of earning your way up the ladder.
Yeah, exactly, which was good. And I think they did that part well, even if it was, to a sense, boring and it lacked a bit of story.
Right.
But with the Companions Guild, damn it, Jared. With the Companions Guild, you basically do like 3 or 4 quests, or maybe a bit more, but it feels like you did nothing to earn it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, now I went from a whelp to a full-blown leader in a week, while there's everyone else trying to just get into the circle.
People have been there for years and have been a part of it, and they're not as high as you. The weird thing is that you can still, I like this, that you can still go back to the Companions Guild and get quests and different tasks, like, hey, someone needs us to go do this. But it feels weird that you're getting them from people that are below you. You know, it's like you're going in and people below you are like, hey, you need to go do this.
Well, I mean, there's no real theoretically, there's no leader of the Companions if you actually read some of what they talk about. No one actually leads it. No one's in charge. There's just kind of ranks, but everyone's a separate entity.
I recommend definitely checking it out, though, if you haven't. It's in Whiterun.
Yeah, I didn't find it until I almost beat the game, which I thought was kind of funny, that I had no idea where it even was. It's almost missable.
Yeah, kind of. I guess it just depends how much you explore it.
Because
the towns.
I was sitting there. I don't know how you guys feel about that freaking priest of Talos in Whiterun, but every time I walk by, yeah, I hate him. Oh my gosh, like I just want to kill him, but I don't want to. I don't like killing random NPCs because I'm afraid something's going to happen later on and I'm going to regret I did that. But still, he's just so freaking annoying.
How does the guilds go? Like, I'm not really familiar with how that works. Can you just join any guild and, like, do all the quests, and you can actually do that for every single one and be, like, the leader of every guild? Like,
with the
companions?
I know the Mages Guild, you actually have to have put some points into Magicka in order to actually join it.
But you can join every guild, though. It's not like 2 guilds are, like, against each other, right? Like, where you had to take sides.
No.
You can go and join every guild and be the head leader of every place, right?
Well, I don't know if you become the head leader.
Oh, whatever. I mean, you make your way up through and you're kind of considered one of them.
Yeah.
Every place. So has anybody run into any glitches or anything?
Yeah.
Yes.
Any like kind of bad glitches or just kind of stuff like, that kind of sucks, but it's not a big deal?
Well, my character, I talked about this before, I think. I don't know, maybe I didn't. But my character has this glitch where they do a power attack, except they don't use any stamina, which would be great if the power attack actually did.
It sounds like a cool glitch.
Yeah, it doesn't do any extra damage, though.
Does it affect anything else? Or is it just like when you use your bow and like you hold your breath and that uses up stamina?
No. Like, I can't. If I could run forever, I'd deal with it. But I can't even run forever.
Oh, that's sucks.
It's only the power attacks that are affected. And I have another glitch.
Running forever would be awesome.
Just in general. Like in yeah. life and stuff.
If you could just like run forever, that'd be crazy.
By saying what town, I give away something in the quest, but there's this one town that every time I go into, one of your buddy soldiers is following me around with a sword drawn every time I'm in this town, which is just weird. He's like, yeah, because I attacked the town and took it over as part of the quest, one of the quests.
So he's there to, like, attack you or
no, he's there to help the sacking of the city, although the city's been, you know, destroyed way long time ago, or not destroyed, but taken over. And every time I walk in to sell stuff or whatever, he's there and he's like, oh, I thought you died. Or so, was it your ma or your pa who was a dragon? Just says funny stuff like that.
Well, I have a glitch that is pretty important for people to know about because it's pretty common and obviously it happened to me. But when you're going through the Thieves Guild, there's a certain point where you have to. Now, just to touch on the Thieves Guild real quick, it's actually pretty awesome so far. I'm having a lot of fun with it, and some of the like the side missions you can do in the Thieves Guild, they give you, instead of like, just go here and steal this thing, they have like a list of, I think there's like 7 different things you can do, and some you might have to like sneak into this place and forge numbers, another place you might have to do a sweep of the house and get a bunch of items out of it, another one you may have to steal something and set someone up so that they'll go to jail, you know, all these different things. So that's pretty cool. And that's just like...
That sounds really cool, like the cool missions.
Yeah, and they're just side missions, not even main quest missions. Thieves Guild is pretty fun so far. Anyway, there's this one point where if you're following the main story of the Thieves Guild, you have to meet this... This isn't any spoilers, but you have to meet this Argonian named Gollum Eye. And you meet him in a tavern, and you need to get some information from him. And when you go there, he says, like, go do this for me, and then I'll help you out. So you do the mission for him, come back. Before you talk to him after finishing the mission, definitely save your game. And then when you speak to him, he'll give you some information, and then he'll walk out of the tavern, and you have to follow him, to shadow him. And what happens a lot of times is if you don't go out quick enough, I think it's just only if you don't go out quick enough. If you don't go out quick enough, then he will glitch and end up walking like up the side of the castle wall and falling down into some rocks. And then on your map, it just says, oh, you need to go outside the city to follow him. But once you get outside, it says like you need to go back inside. So it just gets stuck in that.
The infinite loop.
Yeah, you can't. And there's no way you can complete it at that point. So the best thing to do is the minute you're done talking to him, just walk right out the door right away. And then wait for him to come out and then follow him. And then it'll work fine. But make sure you save so that doesn't screw up. Because I had to go back a little bit over an hour worth of gameplay to get that resolved.
Sucks.
Yeah, I did. But, I mean, I didn't lose too much.
What happened to autosaves then? I guess it didn't work for you?
My autosaves autosaved, like, in the building and, you know, like, after I completed the quest and, like, when I left the building. So, like, all those were screwed up.
The one I had, the mission that you were talking about before, Jared, with you have to meet Delphine in that one dungeon or cavern or whatever with Espen or something.
Esbern.
You know that? Yeah, Esbern. Like you go and like there's like these rings on the ground and there's like this big head in front of you, like a statue of a head.
I never did that.
I know you didn't meet them there yet, but And I bet, like, when you talk to Delphine about that, she asked if you want her to come with you, and I said no. And whenever I walked the whole way to this place, I think what was his name? Esbern.
Esteban.
That's what I first said. Esteban before. I thought it was Esbern. Esbern.
I'm pretty sure it's Esbern.
Okay, well, he followed me, and sometimes, like, you know, if you run for too long, even with a companion with you, like, they just kind of, like, disappear, and then they'll appear with you, like, in the next loading screen or something like that. So, like, he was there off and on, and eventually when I got to the place, I went into, like, the last door, the last loading screen, and he wasn't behind me, which is fine, because I thought he'd just catch up. But I walked up the steps, and I saw Delphine there. Well, actually, no, I didn't see anybody there. Delphine wasn't there, and he wasn't behind me. I didn't know what to do. So I just fast-traveled out and tried to reload, and I fast-traveled back to the place and walked through the cavern again since I didn't have to kill anybody because they were all dead. And when I went back through, Delphine was there, and as soon as I went up there, she looked at me, and she was like, "What are you doing here?" And she pulls out her sword and comes after me and tries to kill me. And I was like, "What the heck's going on? Like, why is she trying to kill me?" So I just ended up fighting her, and I was like, "Well, I'll just kill her and see what happens." But it turns out you actually can't kill her. You just hurt her to the point where she just kind of falls on the ground, and she falls to her knees and just, like, sits there for a while. And then after a little bit, like a minute or two, she gets back up, puts her swords away, and she goes, "Come on, let's go." And then we just, like, everything's fine. And then we just continued on as if nothing happened. So I guess she just wanted to fight me to see what I was worth.
At least it didn't, like, ruin it. Like, at least it wasn't stuck in that where she's constantly attacking you or something.
Yeah, I was thankful for that.
It was kind of cool. If you actually, during that quest, if you choose to go with them, they'll follow you around. And because Espen and Delphine are both invincible, you can just go wherever you want at that point, and they'll follow you. And you'll have two invincible companions with you, although they can't carry anything for you. But both of them can't die.
That's pretty
cool. So if you're fighting a dragon, you can basically just, like, hide in a corner and let them kill it.
Oh, I guess I didn't tell you the thing I figured out how to, like, beat every dragon fight. At least it's worked for me so far. What I do is I always have a companion with me. And anytime... Now, I've done this a few times to check it, and so far it's worked. I've done it, like, 5 or 6 times, and it's worked. And what I do is, even though your companions can die, I still take a companion with me. And then if a dragon comes, I try to find something like something I can go into, a house or whatever, a cave, and I run towards that. Like, even if I'm out in the middle of nowhere, I just keep running until I get to that point. And when I find that, I make sure my companion's fighting the dragon, and then I just walk inside the building, and I just sit there, and the dragon's health will still show up on the top of my screen, and I just watch it go down, and my companion will continue to fight without dying and take him all the way down, and then I just come out and just, like, finish him off. And I've done that, like, probably 6 times.
Okay, well, what I've been doing and worked surprisingly well. I don't even know how or why this works so well, because it didn't before, and now it does for me. But I just, like, walk up to the dragon when he lands, go right up in his face, and start, like, hacking and slashing with dual-wield weapons.
Ask him not to fight you.
Yeah. I kiss him on the nose, and he stops fighting me.
But that works? I die so quickly.
I just hack and slash away. And there's been one or two occasions, I've killed quite a few dragons doing that. There's been one or two occasions where I actually thought, oh god, I'm gonna die. And I immediately pull out a dual healing spell, and boom, I'm good.
I only had to do that stuff at the beginning, but now I've gotten I'm much more powerful, so I can take dragons pretty well.
I did the same thing as you, Jared, except for I didn't have a companion. I had to keep going back and forth.
Oh, just go inside to heal yourself or whatever?
The dragon still stayed around and just, you know, was just flying around. So I came back out and just hurt him a little bit more and came back in. Because I'm only level 12, and I don't have, like, amazing armor and amazing weapons, even magic.
That's where, like, smithing comes in really, real handy, though. I was level 20 wearing dragon armor.
I'm leveling up my smithing stuff right now.
It's actually, if you have the money, it's kind of easy to do. I just went from, like, hold to hold when I got kind of close. And bought a bunch of iron ingots and leather strips, and just made a whole bunch of iron daggers. You end up losing a lot of money in the end, but because I'm spending like 200 or 300 gold for the iron stuff and making like 100 or so back.
Where do you get that stuff? Where do you buy that stuff?
Blacksmith.
Black people.
You buy it from him, and then you make it yourself.
I use his forge. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna buy this from you. I'm gonna use your forge. I'm gonna make all these knives. I'm gonna unload them on you.
And then you sell them.
And I sell them. I mean, I don't make any money. I lose, you know, a couple hundred gold doing it that way.
You just do that to increase your smithing skill?
Yep.
He just does it to lose money.
And I make a habit of making sure I kill every single wild animal I can so I can get the leather. And then I make leather bracers to up my skill.
I actually don't do a lot of stuff, and I have like 20,000 gold just sitting around.
Really? Wow. I just can't hold on to gold.
I don't spend it a lot. There's only certain things I get. I did get married, though.
Aww.
Why don't you get married to the same sex?
I was looking in how to do it in the first place, and the reason I did it is because, I originally wanted a second house, because I haven't done... Actually, I've put over 60 hours into this game, and I've only really explored one town out of the nine towns that are... nine holds that are there. I've really only explored Whiterun in depth. I know Whiterun really well, but I don't really know anything else. I've been to every single one, but I haven't really explored them well.
I know Solitude and Windhelm. That's about it.
I know Solitude somewhat. But the first girl that you meet in Riverwood that you can get that golden claw for, I ended up marrying her even though she's not attractive. But because the guy said you get an extra house if you marry her, because you can just be like, she'll be like, where do you want to live? And you can say like, oh, come to my house in Whiterun, which is the only house I have. Or let's just live in your house with your dad or whatever. So it was just cool to have a second place.
Can I go back to her and get her? Because I did do that mission with the claw.
You have to get the amulet first. So you have to get the amulet of Mara.
I have both.
You have to buy it,
though. You can't just wear one that you found. You have to use one you bought, is what I read.
I didn't know you could even find them. I bought one in Riften from the priest there.
But you can actually, you know Aaliyah the Huntress? One of the companions? You can marry her.
I wanted to, I don't like my wife, so I can't divorce her. I guess I have to kill her, and hopefully I can get married again.
Can you just cheat on her, or like marry somebody else?
No, you can't, because I've been wearing around, talking to other people. Actually, the funny thing is, like, the first time I wore it, I went to the Companions Guild, and the one, you know, the two twin brothers, the one talked to me and stuff, and he was like, I will stay with you forever until they take us to Sovereignwrd. Or something like that. I was like, what are you talking about?
Are you playing a male or female character?
A male. So he totally wanted to get on my junk.
That's
but
awesome.
I was like, no, thank you.
You should have hopped on that, Jared.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a super gay. I'm gonna re-roll and make another character who's super. He's gonna be a wood elf. He's gonna be very flamboyantly gay. And he's gonna cast confetti everywhere.
I wanna marry Kaji and then have kids.
You can't have kids.
Yeah, I know, but can you marry cross races like that?
Yeah. The thing is, there's really not much to having a wife or her husband, other than the fact that, like, you can't, like, when you talk to her, she'll be like, blah, 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 my love. Just say stupid stuff like that. But I get some of the cut of what her dad's shop makes, which is cool. It's not that much, maybe like 200 to 500 gold. And then she'll also make you meals. Just like, did you cook me something? And she's like, yeah, I made this.
Oh, right. At least she knows her place.
But I'm probably going to murder her.
Her dad's going to be mad.
Anyway, so anything else, Skyrim, you want to talk about before we move on?
I'm really starting to hate any followers. Like, I had this one follower. Like, I almost killed them myself. It was actually kind of funny. You know those swinging door traps with, like, spikes that come and, like, hit you in the face and take away, like, all your health?
Yeah, those can be pretty funny.
Yeah.
Funny.
Well, my companion, like, I snuck by it, right? And you'd think the guy would, like, oh, well, he snuck by it. So I'm going to do the same thing. And he walks onto the thing, gets smacked by it, goes down to one knee, and gets his health regenerated, gets up, walks on it again, gets smacked by it again. He does it, like, 3 or 4 times. I eventually ended up, like, taking out my bow and punching him with the bow. And I guess that knocked some sense into him because he walked around the thing that time. But I was just like, what? Like, I know Jez was talking about, like, the companions not being able to cross rivers and, like, really dumb stuff. But, like, just to get hit by a trap, like, 5 times in a row just means you're retarded. Like,
I've had companions cross rivers with me. I think I haven't had a lot of issues with companions, which is weird. I know it's like we're all playing the same game. But it's just weird how, like, I really haven't had issues other than sometimes I go somewhere and I'm just like, where the heck is my companion?
Yeah, do they just, like, not follow you?
So, moving on to some Skyrim news, did you see well, I know Devin did, but Brian, did you see that they actually built a lot of Tamriel into Skyrim?
Yeah, I heard that you can actually see the White Gold Tower.
Yeah, you can. They built Cyrodiil, and they built basically, I'll say what happened. Someone figured out how to get to a point in the map in Skyrim, and then now they did this on PC because they had to go into the console and I forget exactly what they did, turn on no clipping or something, and they went out of Skyrim. And they found out that, like, they created Morrowind, they created Cyrodiil, they created a lot of Tamriel actually in the game. Now, they said the further you go out, textures start to disappear, and it really just becomes like a bunch of polygons and whatnot. But that's pretty crazy, because no developers actually, like, that's kind of a waste of space if you're not going to use it. So why would it be there?
Why is it there?
I don't know. There's a lot of speculation. A lot of people are, myself included, hoping that there's going to be some type of... What I'd really like to see, and I think would be pretty crazy, if they were to make... Almost like the, you know how they have MMOs, and then they come out with expansions, but you can still visit the same areas, and it's all part of one game. I would almost like them to start building other areas. Like, oh, here's a section of Morrowind. Like, they release an expansion, and now you can access like all of Morrowind or a section of Morrowind, and they just keep building onto what Skyrim has created.
It would be cool if they like had like a side quest for Cyrodiil or whatever it is, the Imperial City, where you like fight the Thalmor and like kick them out, and you use whoever you chose in the Civil War. That might be cool.
Yeah, the fact that they build it in general is just one of those things. Like, why would they do that? So I'm hoping that we're absent. Some people were saying so they would have, like, a good frame of reference for when they're building Skyrim, but why wouldn't they just take out all that extra stuff once they have it built?
Yeah, I just think it's cool they even, like, put in certain things like the White Gold Tower. Like, I heard that you could see it from Skyrim without cheating somehow. I mean, it might have to be on the PC version or something because of graphic limitations, but still. Without really entering any cheat codes, you can see the White Gold Tower, which is cool.
I hope something comes out of it, because that's kind of exciting.
Did they announce the DLC yet for Skyrim?
No, they haven't talked about it. But here's the guy who actually found it. He said, if you look at a map of Tamriel, you know this is the closest place in Skyrim to Morrowind. If you travel directly northeast of Stendar's Beacon, you'll end up finding a path to your right in between two huge mountains. I noticed how beautiful the path really looked. It seemed quite enthralling, actually, for some reason. The path is nestled between two mountains decorated with trees, and at the end of it, some type of gateway or arch. But that open archway is the end of the road. The game doesn't allow you to go any further. I find it strange that there is an area like this leading from Skyrim to Morrowind. Nowhere in the lore was that stone wall mentioned, and why would it be an open arch like that? Why not close? Why is there a space at all between these mountains if we can't go any further? As you can see, there's still trees and foliage beyond this wall, but you aren't able to access it without console commands. So I went into noclip, like the Banff I am, and traveled down this path. Landmass, photos below. This picture is taken... Anyway, he has some photos in as he's walking further and further out, and textures start disappearing, but like the physical buildings and trees and whatnot are actually there. Yeah, he has some screenshots of, like, Vardenfell. Morrowind isn't the only province that has been made in Skyrim. As far as I know, the majority of them are there. I've only been able to get access to Morrowind and Cyrodiil since my game loads them slowly, and I don't have the patience. Just past the mountains of Morrowind, you'll find the Cyrodiil landmass, as well as White Gold Tower, located in the middle of the Imperial City. That's pretty awesome. So there has to be a reason. I mean, they specifically built this archway and this path leading up to it, that leads right into Morrowind. So I would love them to do, which they'll probably never do, but let's just remake Morrowind, because I think Morrowind is a fantastic game, but a lot of people are going to, it's a busted game, and a lot of people would have a hard time going back to it.
Yeah. Like I kind of enjoyed Morrowind to a point, but there were just some things I couldn't get past. For example, the journal system was terrible. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
I don't
that
mind
was
the fact that there's no
really
direct marker telling me exactly where to go holding my hand, but I do mind the fact that I have to go through pages and pages and pages of journal entries to figure out what I'm supposed to do next. That is just it's too annoying for me to really get past.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. But the thing about Morrowind, I think Morrowind had some of the most diverse cities and locations and whatnot. So it'd be really interesting if they were building up something for us to visit Morrowind. That would be super exciting to visit. I know it doesn't mean a lot to people who aren't already fans, but it's still cool if they start building big expansions like that and big new locations to visit. That would be something brand new.
So now The Elder Scrolls is going to be an MMO.
It would be cool if it became basically a single player type of almost MMO where you're just this huge content. They just keep... It's something like people always talk about with sports games. It's such a waste to have a new sports game come out every year. Well, it'd be cool if they just, you know, they release Skyrim and that's like the main game. And then they just release these big expansions and you just keep, you know, eating up this content. And then like another year comes along and they release this other huge expansion or something like that. And something that another thought that was brought up is that maybe it's just in there for modders, which is still pretty awesome if they've already created these land masses for modders to go in there and then start building stuff. That's really nice. But I'd rather see some official stuff from Bethesda.
Are we not talking about what games you've played, Jared? Did you talk about that at all?
Skyrim's like the main thing I've played. I haven't played a lot. I played an iPhone game. I don't even have an iPhone. Screw Apple. I played an Android game called The Marbians. Fun little game.
Me too.
It's free on Android. Check it out. I wrote a little thing up about it.
When I went to the marketplace, I saw both of them there, free and a paid one. It's just the only difference is that there's no advertisements for the paid one.
Yeah.
But who cares about advertisements, really?
Yeah, they don't get in the way.
The only app I've had that the advertisements actually got in the way was Angry Birds. So, and who?
Well, that's a stupid game anyway, so you're wasting your time.
What are you playing that for anyway?
Actually, I was sitting there thinking the other day how to make a real-life Angry Birds. Like, I was going to make a wooden stick fort in stone and, like, throw footballs and, like, cherry bombs at the wooden stick fort.
Brian, that sounds dumb. But you know what else is dumb? The fact that there's Angry Bird merch. Why are there t-shirts and stuff out there for an app?
Why not? Everyone loves Angry Birds.
Everyone's stupid.
I do have an Angry Bird plush.
You're the worst.
I didn't buy it, though.
I know you could say the same about video games and stuff. I don't know. I don't feel like Angry Birds is worth it.
No, definitely not. But people love it.
Well,
and what
the
people
fact
love,
is,
we'll
I'll
get.
Tell you why. Because it's cute. And girls go all over that stuff.
They go all over it. If you know what I'm saying.
I'd go all over it, too.
I forgot to mention this other Skyrim thing. I actually just put there's an article that of mine that'll be out soon about someone took all the Skyrim books, all the books in Skyrim that you can read. They took all those and actually made them into an ebook with a table of contents, a cover, and all that stuff that you can download. And you can, it'll be in the show notes, but you can download it and you can add it. Like, I just put it on my Android and actually read that when I'm, you know, not playing Skyrim. And you can read that on your Kindle, your iPhone, Android-based phone, whatever.
So have you guys actually read the books?
Yeah, I actually found The Lusty Argonian, Volume 2.
The journals are really good. Like, they're really well written. Like, The Journal of Kodlak, if you read that one is, like, it actually ties everything in a little bit better.
Yeah.
I don't think I read any of them.
Learn to read.
Like sometimes,
Devin.
Like, I'm playing the game at like 3 in the morning and I'm just trying to finish up some things before I go to sleep. And I get a bunch of books and I know I'm gonna try to read it later, but I never do.
I pretty much take every book I have and it's just sitting in my house waiting for me to read them one day.
I have a house in Whiterun and I keep like journals and books that were quest books on my bookshelf and I keep everything else like aside.
Well, okay, we're talking a lot of Skyrim. Devin, have you played anything else besides that?
No, I mean, I pretty much just played Saints Row and Skyrim. Pretty much completely done with Saints Row. I actually gave it to my brother, and he's going to be playing that. So I have like 99% done, and I've just been playing Skyrim.
We'll be playing more games next week, other than Skyrim, but...
Honest, guys, really, we will.
Maybe. So you want to talk about, is there any like pressing news we should talk about? Like, Borderlands got a novel, yeah, deep story there.
Well, maybe one little thing that I came across of EB Games, which is what they call it in Canada, they're getting rid of like the used game section, essentially.
How? That's like their whole market.
Yeah, like, they're getting rid of it in the sense of, like, having separate new and used games. Like, they're going to...
They're not getting rid of used games. They're just getting rid of the section that says used.
Yeah, pretty much. They're going to, like... They're putting everything together. You know how the new games, even though they are not technically new, as in, like, they're already unwrapped and stuff, and they take the disc out. The new games that usually have the white sticker on it, that's how you can usually tell if it's a white sticker, and the yellow sticker is for used games. Well, now they're making everything a white sticker, and they're pretty much stacking all the new and the used together. Even though it does say in the little print, new or used, like, there's a it's distinguishable that way, but the colors are going to be the same, all white, and they're putting them, like, in the same pile. So, and basically what they're telling the people to do, you know how, like, they send out these big letters from wherever, from, like, the corporate people, they send them out to, like, all the GameStop people, and then, like, the managers get to read them, and then they usually get leaked online. But anyway, the ones that they said whenever you, like, set up these games, to make sure you put all the used ones up first, and then the new one, which is technically new, even though they take it out and open it, is in the back. So that way, when people pick up the game, even though they think they may be getting a new game, but without actually reading the part on the front, they could actually be getting a used game.
That's not a surprise. One more dirty thing that GameStop's trying to do. Big deal. They're horrible people.
Well, the biggest thing is that this is only in Canada. This is happening in Canada. It's actually the EB Games, which I thought EB Games was just changed to GameStop, but I guess EB Games is like...
It's just certain areas.
GameStop owns EB Games.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So...
Because, like, in Jersey, they still have EB Games.
Yeah, I never actually understood what that was about. But this one is only happening in Canada, and it's being confirmed by, like, Canadian, like, managers at EB Games.
By Canadians.
There. But... You never know, like, that could certainly come to America.
Yeah, I imagine it will, because why the heck not?
And the big thing is, I mean, you think about the games where if you want to play online and they have the stupid online pass, even if that pass is in there but it's already been used, you know, because whenever you use it, you can just put it back into your case and sell back to GameStop. Like, people will think they can play online because they thought they got a new game, and then they'll go play and maybe even try the passcode and it doesn't work. So they get kind of screwed over in that sense. I mean, it's their fault because they're not looking at it to make sure that they're getting a new game instead of a used game. But still, it just seems kind of cheap.
Yeah, I mean, the only people I think this really affects are, like, mothers and fathers who don't really know what they're buying, or girlfriends or whatever who don't know what they're buying. But if you're even if you're not an enthusiast, if you're still someone who plays video games on a regular basis, if you go there and you can't tell whether you're buying a new or used game, you're a little dumb anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, I don't expect anything less from GameStop than trying to, like, push the whole used thing in your face. And if you like buying used games and that's your thing, that's cool.
Then go on Amazon and buy them there.
Think about how many times, I know it's happened to me so many times, where you actually see a used game and its price, and it's higher than the new game's price. And if they're putting it out where you see all the used games and then the new games after that, like, on the shelves, what if you're paying more for a used game and not... than you would if you bought the new one.
I don't know how that works, because I've never actually tried that, but when you take it up there, I mean, it might register in the system, like, oh, this is way too high, or something like that, because they might not have just updated the sticker. But I don't know. I've been to very few GameStops where there's not a dumb person working there.
I got lucky with my GameStop, because there's, like, two or three people that are actual gamers, and I mean gamers that would actually enjoy our podcast.
Once in a while, you do find people like that, but, like, if the one around me, like, I walk in, and there's these two guys always, like, chatting, like, complete doofuses about video games, which is fine, but they're the kind of people that stand around, like, oh, that's epic, lol, you know, stuff like that. And, like, they'll walk in, they'll be like, what's up, bro, what can I help you with, what are you looking for, anything in special, or anything in particular? I got a bunch of neckbeards working at mine, so.
No, there's just this one.
Would you like to pre-order everything?
In particular, there's one girl. And she more or less has the same taste in video games I do. And so I can walk in there and be like, tell me you buy a game and I'll buy it. And I can trust her opinion.
Show me your boobs and I'll buy whatever.
Or that.
Absolutely.
But no, so it is kind of nice to be able to walk into a GameStop and see one person and be like, oh, what game should I buy? And they're like, yeah or no, because they know you and you know them within reason.
Anyway, so that's that. Any other things that are worth bringing up?
What are you thankful for?
Yeah, I don't really. Well, I don't really have anything that's worth talking about, because we could go into our discussion now.
Okay, we can. I do want to bring up one thing though. that I thought was kind of interesting. And I never really thought about this before. But there might be, Sony might be making a game called, well, it's codenamed Title Fight, but it's basically like a Super Smash Brothers, but from specific like PS3 characters.
I like that name, Title Fight.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's
Title Fight.
Yeah.
What, so you would like have like, what, like Lara Croft fighting Gex or something?
Like Nathan Drake, Papa the Rapper.
Parappa the Rapper?
Parappa the Rapper, yeah.
You're Papa the Rapper?
That's awesome. I love Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah. There's other people in here. Let me see on here. Sweet Tooth is going to be on it. That's actually where it kind of got leaked. There is a picture of Sweet Tooth being like in the like the development stage.
So it's basically Super Smash Brothers for PlayStation.
Yeah, it is. Just with those characters. Sly Cooper, Kratos, Fat Princess, Colonel Raddick. I don't know what that's from. Do anybody know? Oh, Killzone, it says. Killzone's Colonel Raddick. I don't know what that or who that is.
Exactly. Oh, good. That's the one everyone wants.
Anyway, but did you guys see the commercial that came out a while ago? The Michael commercial with all the Sony characters and like the
Michael who? No,
it's called the Michael commercial. Like these two war guys, like they go into a bar and there's like Sweet Tooth is there and the guy from Cole McGrath or Cole from Infamous is there and
Mark McGrath
Snake is there. Like they're all talking about like these guys. This guy who like helped him through whatever and like who is it? Like, oh, it's Michael. You never seen that commercial?
No, Devin.
Okay. Well, anyway, they thought that was hinting at a Super Smash Brothers type of game for the PlayStation, and which it may very well be, but it's definitely in development.
That's cool because I don't like Super Smash Brothers at all. I mean, I'm not a big fighter fan in general, but I don't think everyone like loses their mind about Super Smash Brothers, and I don't think it's that much fun. But it might be. I think it'd be pretty fun if they make it not Nintendo like, and if it's you have some cool characters in there.
Yeah,
it's like Sweet Tooth. That would be rad, and Parappa the Rapper. That'd be awesome. Sweet Tooth and Parappa the Rapper fighting. That's awesome. Can't be a bad game. It's like Air Geese on the PS1.
Oh yeah,
everybody remember that fighting game? God, with like Final Fantasy characters and stuff.
I've always wanted to play that game, but I never could.
It was horribly fun because it's horrible, but it's fun because it's like, oh man, look at all these like Final Fantasy characters that are fighting. This is awesome.
I'm kind of surprised it just never came out a while ago, even with Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Yeah, it's weird. You think that had some pretty good success? I mean, there's a tournament scene for Super Smash Brothers. You think that someone would all? Well, I guess the truth is there's not that many mascots anywhere. The day of mascots is long gone, more or less. So there's not many exclusive people that you would have. I guess Sony's the only other person that has any exclusive stuff.
Does Xbox really have any except for like Master Chief?
Yeah, they have Master Chief. Not really that I can think of. Conker from Conker's Bad Fur Day. Oh, wait, that was on the 64.
Good job.
They have, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of something funny.
Perfect Dark?
No, that was on the 64 also.
No, the new Perfect Dark.
Well, yeah, there was a new, Conker that was on the 360 also, but you don't count that.
Oh, just because they didn't originate there?
Wasn't there a new Conker on the 360? Don't quote me on that. I don't know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, I don't know.
A lot of games, I mean, they're all like cross-platform now.
A lot of games are video games.
A lot of games are in video now.
So, guys, Thanksgiving happened this past week, and we probably should have talked about this on last podcast, but I done forgot that Thanksgiving was coming. So this is our Thanksgiving sort of kind of afterwards podcast. Oh yeah, I didn't ask how everyone's Thanksgiving went. Mine was cool. I ate food.
Dude, I had like three Thanksgiving dinners. Three or four. I had two the day of Thanksgiving, then I ate Thanksgiving dinner on Friday and Saturday.
That sounds horrible.
Oh, it was so good though.
I'd be sick. Brian, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh.
How was your hunger man that you ate?
Did you not go to your parents' house?
It was all right. I went to my fiance's for dinner. My parents hate me.
You guys make a turkey?
Yeah.
What was your what's everyone's favorite food on Thanksgiving?
Stuffing.
Do you like stovetop or like real stuffing?
Give me the bird.
I don't know what that means.
You want me to flick you off, Devin?
Like you like it in the bird?
Yes, I like.
Yeah, but do you like real stuffing or?
Yeah, I like homemade stuffing in the bird.
Yeah, me too. That's awesome.
Wet stuffing, and then I put gravy on it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, gravy on everything is awesome. What about you, Brian?
Mashed potatoes, man. I just love mashed potatoes and gravy. Just eat that as a whole freaking meal.
Chips.
I like iced tea and salt.
No, I get corn, mashed potatoes, stuffing, turkey, and then put gravy on all that.
Yeah, gravy on everything.
Absolutely.
I love sweet potato casserole with like pecans and brown sugar.
Sweet potatoes
sometimes
are terrible.
Marshmallows. Oh, it's so good.
Potatoes do not need to be sweet by any means.
Okay, you realize they're different.
I know.
It's not like
I
someone
know.
Took some potatoes and like, let's candy these up.
They are different, but they still taste terrible.
No, they're awesome. You are wrong.
What about pumpkin pie? Anybody eat pumpkin pie?
I don't know if I like pumpkin pie. But my mom made these pumpkin cupcakes, which are awesome.
Oh, yeah, dude. Pumpkin rolls, pumpkin cakes, that stuff is even better than pumpkin pie. I'm not really the pie type of guy.
Pie is awesome. Much better than cake.
What?
Pie is better than cake.
Yeah, but I like brownies more.
Brownies aren't... They're not like pie or cake, though.
I'm saying I like pie. I like brownies more than pie and cake. And pie is nothing like cake anyway.
What's brownies have to do with anything? You just bring that up. I like brownies. Well, I like ice cream.
Why'd you bring up cake? Nobody was talking about cake.
Because it's always pie versus cake.
It's not ever versus pie.
It's always pie versus... Like, people argue about that.
I like cake.
So anyway, yeah, let's talk about our Thanksgiving. I don't have anything else to say after that. Let's talk about what we're thankful. That's our discussion this week. I thought we could talk about what we're thankful when it comes to video games. I don't get like super cheesy about it, but not like, oh, it saved my life. Now I'm not going to kill myself. But just talk about what we're thankful for in video games.
You know what I'm thankful for? I'll go first. One of the first things that I would say I'm thankful for that I really haven't realized until like the last like year or so, I'm thankful for indie games. Without indie games, like, I think my gaming experience would be a little bit more bland. And it's just kind of like a little bit less boring. A little bit more boring, I mean, without indie games. And I like the creativeness and the simplicity to a lot of indie games.
Stuff that you just won't get in the mainstream a lot of times.
Yeah, it's just like kind of like off the wall, like that's a cool idea that really wouldn't blow up, but at least somebody decided to sit down and make it.
Right. I'm just thankful. I guess you could say in the same way I'm thankful for that digital downloads have become such a huge part of gaming, because without that, then indie game, you know, with the internet and everything obviously helps with that. But without that, indie games wouldn't be so easy to access, and it wouldn't be so easy for them to get their name out there and get their content out there.
Yeah.
So that's a good one.
Thankful for Steam.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian, what are you thankful for other than Assassin's Creed?
And Fallout.
Oh, Fable.
And Xenon Gears. Ah, I missed it.
I don't even know.
I know. Well, I can go. I hate video games. I'm thankful for just the ability that that something. There's not too many things in my life that I'm super passionate about, and I guess it's pretty good to have a direction and what's your passion. Like a lot of people grow up, they go to college, they do the work thing, or maybe they just work at a job for the rest of their life or whatever, because that's like the standard thing to do. But for me, that's never been what I'm into.
It's not good enough.
Yeah, like I just don't want to work just some regular old job. So I'm thankful for an industry that's good enough that we can start producing our own content like we are with the podcast and the website. And, you know, hopefully do this for a living one day. So I'm just thankful for the ability
to actually get a career out of it, maybe?
Yeah, you know, that's, I'm just thankful that that's possible. Because there's a lot of things in life that people are passionate about, but they can't make a career out of it. So it'd be cool to do that. I'm pretty happy about that. Thankful for a good industry like that.
You know, thinking of this topic, I more so think of things that I'm not really thankful for.
We could do that too.
Like, I'm really not thankful for most of the gaming community. and their attitude.
Yeah. Do you mean like the mainstream?
Yeah, most of that. And even like a lot of developers, because I mean, if you think about it, I can count on one hand the developers that I really enjoy like buying their games from, and like they just really support their consumers.
That's a good one, actually. I think we can all agree we're really thankful for developers who just really care about their community and really spend time on making really solid games.
Yeah, when a huge thing of like Valve. The whole money thing doesn't come into play, you know, if that's not what it's all about, then usually I'm thankful for those type of developers.
I guess I'm thankful for the community. I am thankful for the community. I guess it's some of the mainstream gamers at large that kind of ruin that. But for the close-knit community of the enthusiasts and the people who really love this medium and see it as more than just a way to waste time, I guess I'm really thankful for them. I don't know. We're on the same page. It's like everyone wants to be a part of something, and it's not like right. I'm super needy, like, oh, I wish I was a part of something. But you're just kind of part of this group, and you have other people who just understand you and understand where you're coming from without ever having to like explain yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
I'm thankful for the advent of the like internet integrating into game consoles lately, because like a lot of people that I met on Xbox Live, I mean, this sounds really like gay, but I've actually met some people on Xbox Live, and they're actually rather interesting people like to talk to. And there have been several occasions, more than I care to count, where I've gotten into a deep religious debate with someone, or like a long conversation that lasted hours and hours, and I ended up just pausing the game and sitting there talking to someone for like, it's happened more than once where I've talked to someone for 3 or 4 hours. Just randomly met them in a video game playing like Call of Duty or whatever. I don't play Call of Duty, but whatever. And then we start chit-chatting during the game, and then next thing you know, you have a couple things in interest, and so you just start like talking, and then next thing you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning and you're still talking to the person because they're an interesting individual. So it kind of lets you meet random people and not care about what you say in particular, because what are you going to do? You're not going to meet them in person anyway. So if you offend them, you know, you don't really care. So I guess I'm thankful for that, though. I mean, it's not necessarily part of games, but it's interesting. I'm glad that you can actually meet people like that.
No, yeah, that absolutely is. I mean, because you're playing with people of a common interest, and then, you know, that leads into other conversation. But I'll even take that, that's a good one. I'll even take that even to personal relationships, because none of us live next to each other. But because of gaming together and things like that, and doing like this podcast and stuff, it's helped us, you know, become better friends. We always keep up with each other. We talk to each other at least once a week, you know, so we keep in touch that way. But I know, like, even with me and Devin, like, we've met other people online when we were back in the early Xbox days. We'd find different people online that we play with, and they kind of became like, you know, internet friends. You know, you may not spend much time outside the game talking to them, but once you're in that game, you're playing with them and talking to them, and it was always fun.
I kind of miss that, actually. I mean, I remember getting a couple friends like Fear Kelso and Mad Beast. They were just kind of like
Big
your
Rubes.
Internet buddies that you get on and play. What?
Big Rubies.
Yeah, heck yeah, Big Rubies. I totally forgot about him. But yeah, actually making like kind of like internet friends, I guess you would say, online, just through a common interest of playing games and or trying to be good at a game, whatever. Yeah, that's kind of, I miss doing that, but I'm not really into the online stuff anymore. Play a lot of single player stuff, and if I play online, it's like a co-op thing with Jared.
Right.
But yeah, kind of miss that. That's probably something else I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for co-op games. Heck yeah.
I'm thankful for the big influx of co-op games that have been coming in, especially this generation, more than any other. It seems like there's been a much bigger push for that. Because I remember in previous generations, we'd always be like, wow, we need to find a co-op game to play. And now there's tons of them to play.
Yeah, and I think the big thing was, even before, there was co-op games, but it was like just LAN stuff.
Yeah, local. Or local.
And now... Yeah, and now it's like it's more possible that we can actually play stuff online,
right?
With having co-op stuff. So I definitely thankful for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've always been a big PC gamer, and I guess I'm thankful for the PC gaming has certainly changed over the years. And there's been a lot of times where people are like, PC gaming is dead, PC gaming is dying. But like PC gaming has absolutely exploded, especially this generation, with downloadable content and indie games and different things like that. So I guess I'm just thankful that PC gaming has come back in a pretty strong way.
Well, actually, speaking of that, I'm thankful for mods.
Absolutely.
Both of us can attest to that. I killed Oblivion. I played that game to death. But the only reason why I was able to even play it half as much as I did was because of just the continual influx of really interesting mods coming out. And it's not just mods where you get a new weapon or a new race, but like mods that add entire new guilds or floating islands in the sky and dragons you can ride around and just like things that in a sense break the game, but after you beat it, who cares? And some of them are actually game balancing, like one of the mods I downloaded for Oblivion required you to eat, drink, and sleep, or you'd start suffering. It was basically like hardcore mode in Fallout New Vegas, which I thought was kind of cool. If you feel like role-playing the game, then...
Yeah, no, I'm thankful for passionate gamers out there who take the time to build this stuff, you know, make that stuff for other people, because certain PC games have had an incredibly long lifespan because of that.
Yeah.
And I know that I love
Half-Life.
Going back to those. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Half-Life, first one and the second one. And there's just an insane amount of mods out there that you can go out and get and explore. And
man, it's
really, almost overwhelming.
It wouldn't be half as good without the mods. I mean, it would still be great, but it wouldn't have been what it is today without the mods.
Oh yeah, the community of dedicated people who want to do this is so important.
But didn't some games come from people's mods?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's been a number of things, like Counter-Strike was originally a mod, and
the Warcraft mod for Dota.
Dota, yeah,
yeah.
There was Warcraft 3 mod, like Dota, that. Yeah. Anything else you guys can think you're thankful for? I'm not thankful for GameStop.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. I guess I am thankful that there is a big video game retailer. However, I'm not thankful for the way they control themselves.
I could do without them.
Yeah, I think I could too, but...
I'm thankful for internet retailers that I can buy video games off of.
Yeah, I'm thankful for Amazon. I'm thankful for... I'm thankful that gaming magazines haven't all but disappeared.
Oh, definitely.
Or they have all but disappeared, but I'm glad they haven't disappeared. I'm thankful that Enthusiast Gaming.
Oh my gosh!
I'm thankful that.
Thank you for our old website.
I'm thankful that Electronic Gaming Monthly came back, because that was awesome. I loved Electronic Gaming Monthly. Read that forever.
They are a very good mag. Man, I wish I would have thought of this when I was at Thanksgiving dinner. And we were going around saying what we're thankful for. I would have said stuff like this, and everyone would look
at me
weird.
Did you have to do that at Thanksgiving?
We always do. It's a family tradition. I'm going to do that next year, just to like really like get that look from my parents. Like, what the heck is your problem, you freaking queer?
I'm really thankful for Xenogears. Have you guys played that game? You said.
Anyone else thankful for anything about video games?
Controllers. I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah, oh, no, absolutely, yeah. I'm thankful that the Kinect and the Move and all that stuff is failing.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want to go that direction.
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually kind of thankful that we have, game designers have thought of, holding a box is not rather comfortable. Let's figure out how to make it, you know, easier to hold and not painful.
Yeah, I'm thankful for the Xbox 360 controller, because that thing feels awesome.
I'm thankful that the PlayStation controller has never changed.
Yeah, I do like the PlayStation controller. With indie games, we talked about how they're indie games aren't afraid to explore different areas that mainstream games are. But I am thankful that a lot of mainstream games, I mean, minus like the Call of Duties and stuff, haven't all gone down the dumb shooter avenue or something of that kind. We have some deeper stories and more engaging games today than we ever have before. Back in the day, games were looked at as just like a small form of entertainment, and they were just like very arcadey and very simple, and it was like more about like beating something, getting a high score, yada yada. Over time, it's become more and more important that games do have I mean, there's a place for everything. There's games that are just pure fun, like Geometry Wars, but then there's games that actually want to tell a deeper story, like Heavy Rain, and things in between. And I'm glad that the industry has just expanded in that way to include all that stuff, that stories actually, you know, come to matter more.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm kind of a paranormal enthusiast as well as an enthusiast gamer. And I am kind of thankful that Assassin's Creed is, like, the makers aren't necessarily afraid that they're going to get ridiculed for making a game about ancient aliens.
As long as it's done well. As long as it's not a cop-out.
It really was. You have to play it to understand that it was done well. It wasn't a cop-out to explain anything. It was,
Not like the fourth Indiana Jones where it's like, oh, it's just aliens!
No, it was nothing like that.
Spoiler alert if you wanted to see that terrible movie.
It makes perfect sense. Like, it's not like, oh, well, duh. Because, it just makes sense. It's hard to explain without spoiling the whole game for you and taking 3 hours to explain it. But I'm thankful that, like, even mainstream developers aren't afraid to go into topics that are, would get you ridiculed for talking about in a college class.
I'm thankful for the Wii.
And I'm thankful that Jared's about to kick you off the call.
Actually, I am thankful for the Wii, in a way, because if you look at it, at least, Nintendo's always been trying to innovate, but at least someone did it so we can figure out that, like, okay, we're either A, we don't want it, or B, we're not ready for it. But either way, we're not going to have to hopefully worry about that much next generation.
We will see.
I'm thankful for the PSP Go. Just kidding. No one's thankful for that. That's a joke.
Yeah, my girlfriend's mom is going to get... She was going to get her two sons, like the twins that they have, that she has, both cell phones. But the one doesn't want a cell phone. The other one does. The one actually wants a PSP. And she was thinking about it. She's like, oh, I'll just get you the... Okay, I think I'll just get you the new one, the PSP Go. And she asked me about it, and I was like, absolutely not. Do not get the PSP Go.
Stop what you are doing now.
That is most terrible thing. And she was like, well, the thing about a new one, I was like, unless you're waiting until like February or whenever the heck we're getting the Vita.
February.
And buying that expensive thing, then you're probably talking about the PSP Go, and you don't want it. It's like, just get the regular PSP 3000, and you'll be good.
No. Tell her, yeah, get the Vita. It's only going to be $250. Has Skype and all that stuff.
It's for Christmas.
Late Christmas. February Christmas.
So yes, the kid actually wants a PSP. He wants a PSP over a cell phone.
How old is he?
35.
11 or 12.
Well, yeah, at that age, I don't really care about a cell phone.
I don't know. What 12-year-old doesn't want a cell phone? Oh my god. I had a freaking 8-year-old come into my store whack when I was selling cell phones who wanted a BlackBerry. Like, that was what she wanted and that's what she was going to get. What freaking 12-year-old wants a BlackBerry?
What parent is allowing their kid to get a BlackBerry?
Yeah, that's the worst part. Like, what 8-year-old even knows what a BlackBerry is?
Who buys BlackBerries?
Yeah, also, who buys BlackBerries?
I don't know. I was like, you know, we have this phone, which is a lot better. No, I want a BlackBerry. Okay, have fun running your lemonade stand like a professional.
Anyway, anyone thankful for anything? Not BlackBerry? I'm thankful for Android.
Yeah,
because absolutely.
If only for the reason that it's not iPhone.
Yeah, I don't know.
That it's not iOS.
I heard freaking Chandler saying that Droid has gone down the drain since the
He was talking
one.
About like Droid 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, I thought he was talking about Android in general. I was going to be like, you're queer.
Anyway, so we should probably end this podcast. So that was episode 12 of Between the Pixels, the podcast. PixelPerfectMag.com is our URL. Follow us on Twitter at BTWN, The Pixels. And follow the main site at The Pixel Perfect. And what else? We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. So if you don't like iTunes or anything like that, download that little appy app on your texty phone. And you can listen to Stitcher, stream us. We sound awesome. What else is there, guys? Oh, if you want to email us questions, feedback, comments, whatever. If you want us to talk about something, email us at btwnthepixels@pixelperfectmag.com.
Oh, and if you do happen to listen to us on iTunes, you should rate us 5 stars, kid.
Yeah, sir. Anything? Any other closing things? I don't think so. Thanks for listening, folks. Keep on. Keep on playing those video games.
Keep on gaming, guys.
And the end.
1, 2, 3, stop recording.
Oh my god.